There'll be a restoration in your life. Come on, encourage one another this morning. Tell somebody there's a healing and revealing this morning. Come on, tell somebody that they can be renewed in the power of the Lord. They can be renewed in the strength of their God. Come on, tell them you're going to wait upon the Lord. Amen? And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. No thing, no one shall take your place, Lord. No thing shall take your place. This morning, church, we are privileged beyond measure to be able to come in the presence of God and offer to Him a sacrifice. What a privilege that you and I have to offer the Lord our tithe, to offer the Lord our giving. What a privilege. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Bless this offering now in Jesus' name. Let's continue to worship. Children of Israel saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he flees to one of those cities and stands at the entrance of the gate and declares his case in the hearing of the elders of the city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. Then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor unintentionally and did not hate him beforehand. And he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the one who is a high priest in those days. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled. Peculiar scripture, isn't it? But God gave provision for those of had fallen into a sin, if you will, had fallen into a place where they were separated from God, if you will. And the avenger of blood, John 10:10, it tells us it's the devil. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And you and I are all guilty. Every one of us in this room are absolutely guilty. But praise God, we have a city. We have a refuge where we can run into. And when we run into, glory to God, that avenger of blood cannot touch us. That avenger of blood cannot harm you. There's a city of God that we can run into. And notice in the text what it said. It said, until the high priest dies. You see, we even have a better refuge and a better city because our high priest, Jesus, will never die. He lives forever. And that means when you run into that city, church, you are safe. You are secure in Jesus Christ. I think we ought to put our Bible aside, lift our hands up, and thank God that we have a city of refuge this morning. We have a place that we can run to, that Jesus Christ will keep us safe, that the blood of Christ covers us from all of our sin. Thank you, Lord. It covers us. It covers us. It covers us. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord Jesus. This morning, we want to just continue to discover what God is saying in this generation. And everything seems to be so powerfully prophetic. Everything seems to be so, thus saith the Lord. And you know, if you're just hearing God at all, you're hearing the voice of the Lord speak. And God's saying, I want you to do this, and I'm going to pour out my spirit, and I'm going to bless, and I'm going to cry out, and I'm going to call out. And He's crying out and calling out to people who have been a little bit distant and maybe even on the lukewarm side. And He's bringing them back into His glory and bringing them back into His presence. You know, we're going to have to redefine church. We're going to have to redefine how we do it. I know the Sunday morning experience has always been limited to about 90 minutes. And 90 minutes is really tough for some people because they really like it, be in and out in an hour. But you know what? We're going to have to rethink that. You know, if I could just get you to support me, I'd move this service to 9 o'clock. And that way we'd have 2.5 hours so that we can just allow the glory of God to fall and the Spirit of the Lord to do what He wants to do in here before I've got to skedaddle and go to the next place. But I just believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us all this morning. And that there is a city of refuge. And if you look to Psalm 132, verse 13 to 14, it's a really powerful scripture. Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate that. Hallelujah. Carry a great anointing here this morning. That's wonderful. Psalm 132 and verse 13 and 14 tells us that God Himself has a place or has an office. And you know, when you have an appointment with a doctor, you have to go to the doctor's office. When you need an attorney, you have to go to the attorney's office. When you come to see the preacher, you come to the preacher's office. And there's a location, there's a place that God has. Did you know that God has an office? That God has a place where you can come to meet with Him and to dwell with Him? Psalm 132 tells us in verse 13, "For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His dwelling place." And that word dwelling in the Hebrew means home, His house. It is His permanent dwelling. In verse 13 and verse 14, "This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it." God has a dwelling place. And the assembly of the children of God, our present day refuge, this is the presence of God. It is the place of your safety. It is the place of your refuge. And church, let me tell you something. We got to rethink the way we live life at home. We've got to rethink the way we live life on the job. We've got to rethink the way we live our life out in our community with our friends. Because you know what? We have been far from the presence of the Lord. We've been far from the presence of the Lord. We have regulated our present time with God in the church service. And we have a few devotionals here and there. But we're not living in the glory. We're not living in the presence of God. And outside of the city, outside of the place where God has caused His name to dwell, the avenger of blood is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. But there is a place where you and I can dwell 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we can stay in the safety of God's glory and God's presence. You know, I'm just thrilled at what God is doing all over the world. Did you know that there's revival breaking out in Ireland? Are you aware of what's happening in Germany? Germany is having an explosion in the Spirit. Do you know how cold Germany has been to the gospel? But they are experiencing right now a powerful outpouring of the Spirit. I just got an email from Brandon and Amber Green, missionaries that we support in Germany who have been here to preach. They've started one church, two churches, three churches. They're up to six churches and they're filling up and people are being saved. Healing signs and wonders are following. I'm talking about in Europe, Eastern Europe, where it has been hard and doors have been closed. God is opening up His glory on the earth. And church, we ought to be a people who say, "Lord, don't pass us by. Don't pass us by, Lord." You see, it's the New Testament Shiloh. It's Zion. Zion, the place where God meets with His people. And not just on Sunday morning. Boy, we've got to have a shifting of thinking. Because really, we've regulated that to the Sunday morning service, haven't we? We've said, "Well, whatever, Lord. On Sunday morning, I'll get in and I'll get out." But God says, "You know what? I want to follow you home. I want to ride in the car with you. I want to go into your living room. I want to come into your bedchamber. I want to go to work with you on Monday. I want to have lunch with you on Tuesday afternoon." God is hungering and thirsting to be with His people. And there are those that are hungering and thirsting to be with Him. You see, we've got to keep our public and our personal appointments with Him in Zion. It's our place of victory. It's our place of conquering. It's our place of renewal. It's our place of renewing our strength. It is waiting upon the Lord. Isaiah said, "Waiting upon the Lord, and we shall renew our strength." You can't renew your strength outside of this presence. You can't renew your strength on your own. No matter how hard you try, no matter how good you think you are, no matter how smart you think you are in the Bible, you can't do it yourself. You've got to cut out for yourself the presence of the Lord. You've got to seek Him. You've got to push in. You've got to press through. You can't just casually walk by and expect to be impacted by the glory of God. You've got to really cry out to the Lord and be desperate for Him and say, "God, you know what? If you don't bless me, like Jacob, if you don't bless me, We need to learn to live under open heavens. An open heavens when people will come through the doors of this meeting house. They will be impacted by the glory. When people cross the city limits of this city, they will be impacted by the glory of God. They will recognize that there is a dwelling of the Most High God in this region. And lives will be turned around. You see, the economy of this region is the responsibility of the church. The politics of this region is the responsibility of the church. The blight of this city is the responsibility of the church. You say, wait a minute, don't put that on me. Wait a minute, we can't do more programs. We can't go out there and rebuild the city. That's what we've been trying to do. We've been trying to pick up this politician's agenda and this politician's agenda. You know how many times I get calls during the campaign season for me to get behind certain party leaders to endorse them as my candidate for president or my candidate for mayor or my candidate because they're carrying an agenda that somehow will allure the right wing, the Christian conservative, and I'm supposed to get behind their agenda? You know what? There's a change in the winds. We're not getting behind their agenda. We want them to get behind God's agenda. We've been trying to do it for so long backwards. 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 I'm not going to any political rallies. I'm not going to listen to any political speeches. I'm going to get in the presence of God and get a word from the Lord. And when I get a word from the Lord, it will change my life forever. Hallelujah. I like 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 9. You know the story about Hannah, don't you? Hannah was a crazy lady for God, man. She was like desperate. She reached a point of desperation. And it says in verse 9, Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. And now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And she made a vow and she said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give to your maidservant a male child, I will give him to the Lord in all the days of his life and no razor shall come upon his head. She was pouring out her soul to God in his office while everybody else was still eating and drinking and partying outside. This wasn't during a regular scheduled worship service. She made her own worship service. She called her own church service. She said, blessed be in the name of God, I'm not getting anywhere out here with you all. I'm eating and drinking and I'm going to church and I'm praying, but I'm still barren. Excuse me. This isn't working. So she went back into the presence of the Lord. And she went into the presence of God and began to cry out with desperation, Lord, hear the cry of your maidservant. Oh God, hear the cry of your maidservant. I want to challenge us, gentlemen, listen to me. If we can just get you passionate enough to get in the presence of God, to begin crying out on behalf of your children, on behalf of your marriage, and on behalf of your local church, and on behalf of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, we will begin to see God be faithful and grant us our requests. He's looking, he's searching his eyes to and fro, looking for somebody who will call upon his name. And Hannah cried out, and the Bible said that God answered her prayer because she met with him in Zion. It wasn't during a church service. Others were feasting outside. Hannah was in God's office, and the word of the Lord came this week. And here's what the word of the Lord said, and I give it to you as I've written it down. You must have greater respect for my holy habitation, where I have chosen to put my name for your personal cover and your personal refuge. I'm going to say it again, the word of the Lord that came to me throughout this week. He said, there must be a greater respect for my holy habitation, there where I've chosen to put my name for your personal cover and your personal refuge. You see, it's time to blow the trumpet in Zion. It's time to blow the trumpet in Zion. Isaiah the prophet, chapter 58, in verse 1 said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. And what did he say in Isaiah 51? He said, and declare to the people, what? What did he tell them to declare to them? Oh my gosh, we're actually going to talk about this in church? Please don't, you'll offend somebody. Okay, let me read it anyway, since it's in the Bible. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell my people of their transgressions, oh my gosh, and the house of Jacob their sins, oh my gosh. Oh, Pastor, don't talk about sin. Don't talk about sin. You might cause people to leave the church. And the Bible says, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. And tell the people of their transgressions. Tell the people of their sins. Their sins of indifference. Their sins of complacency. Their sins of selfishness and self-centeredness. Tell them! Oh, God, that's not a way to build a megachurch. That's not a way to build a church, God. All Mr. Big Bucks won't come back. He just wants a little, you know, 3 points in a poem. He doesn't want to be beat up by the preacher. I'm not going to beat anybody up. I'm going to lift up my voice like a trumpet. Why? Because I want the power and the presence of God to visit us in this hour, in this generation. And God said, quit despising my holy habitation. My holy habitation. And in verse 6, he says this, is this not the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness. To loose the bonds of wickedness. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. You know what's happened to the local church? Hear me out. The local church has become a referral service. Woo! Yes, we have. We refer people to psychiatrists, psychologists, marital therapists. We refer them to counselors. I thought we were supposed to undo the bonds of wickedness. I thought we were to let the oppressed go free. I thought we were to have the power of God evident in our lives. What happened? What happened? What happened that we don't let the oppressed go free? That we don't break every yoke? We refer people to community services. We have a list in our own office here. When people call and we don't know what to do with them, we refer them. Shame on us. Shame on the church. Shame on the church that we can't call somebody. Can't call somebody in the church. When a man comes and he's bound by drugs and he's bound by demonic activity, I can't call one man in my church to say, come over here, cast this devil out, take charge of this thing, and disciple this man until he's in his right mind. And we refer them to the Drug and Alcoholic Rehabilitation Center. Thank God for the Office of Aging. What would we do with all these old folks? Come on, church. There ought not to be one elderly person that lacks anything in the body of Christ. There ought not to be one widow who has to go file for some kind of government assistance because the church. We're the church. Hello. Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. Listen to this scripture. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion. Woe to those that are at ease in Zion. Woe, 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 woe to those that are easing it in Zion. Easing it in Zion. Like I go if I want to go, and I'm not sure I'm going to go this week because I like, you know, it's no big deal. I'm not coming to the, I mean, there's nothing about the corporate anointing. I have never been healed. God said this, let me give you the word again. You must have greater respect for my holy habitation, where I have chosen. Do you know who we were who were we praising this morning? Was it Allah? We all praising Baal. No. Who were we talking about? Were we talking about Elohim? El Shaddai? The heaven, God of heaven and earth? Come on, church. That's who we were praising. That's who we were talking about. That's who we were calling on. Is the God that created the heaven and earth. The God that created and gave life to you and gave life to me. He said, woe to those who are at ease in Zion. Who are at ease in God's office. I don't know about you, but when I go to the doctor's office, I am everything but at ease. not just because of fear. There's a respect. When he walks in, you call him doctor. You see the attorney and all of the books behind them and all of their certificates, and you say, sir, we come to the house of God, say, sup. Come on, church. What am I talking about? Who am I talking to? Anybody here this morning, or do you have too many hot dogs this weekend? Come on. Huh? He said, and on Mount Samaria, you know what Mount Samaria was? Mount Samaria were the Jews who got married to the Assyrians and mixed their religion with the gods of the Assyrians. And so they set up an alternative worship site. And God said, woe to those who are at ease in Zion and those who set up an alternative worship site. Who mix their church world with the world. Who church life with the world life. Who've learned how to be holy and learned how to be unholy. Like a switch can turn it on and like a switch can turn it off. Come on, church. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about because some of you do it. I've done it. I know it's warm in here, but our air conditioning is broke. It's been broke for a year, and we don't have any money to fix it. It's $15,000 to replace the one compressor. Whew, that's a lot of money, isn't it? He's telling us not to mix our walk with God with the world. I said, okay, Lord, how far do I take this? I mean, how far do I go with this? I mean, do I go with this like, I mean, what level do I stop at? I mean, you know, can I like still do this? Can I maybe have this? And can I still smoke that? And can I still drink this? Is it okay if I still look at that? You know, we're always looking at what we can still do and be in the church. We've got to shift our thinking and say, you know what? Those things don't allure me anymore. God, give us back the revivalists of the past generations that wrote the powerful hymn that says, I will hasten to him. Things that are higher, things that are nobler. These have allured my sight, God. I'm hungry for you. See, they had the same passion in different words back then. We have words like desperate, and we have words like passion, and hungry, and thirsty. But they were talking about, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Same thing, same heart. God, give us some people who are no longer going to linger in the world's delight, but be resolved to feel a hunger after the presence of a living God. Amen? You know, John the Baptist was in prison. He was all hooked up, man. He was like ready to be killed. He was going to chop his head off. And John the Baptist said, hey, disciples, come here. He says, do me a favor, go back to that Jesus guy and ask him if he's the one or should we look for another? That was in Luke chapter 7. Do you ever read that in the Bible? Now, here's John the Baptist. He's the one that leapt in his mother's womb when Jesus came into the presence of his mother. And you know, Jesus was in Mary, and they got together, and he was leaping in the womb. And then he's over here in prison going, okay, now are you really it? I want to know if you're the one. Jesus. By the way, we need a new soundboard too. That's only $25,000. But God's been good. It's still working. A little bit of chewing gum here, a little bit of Scotch tape there. And it's still working. But he said, are you the one or should we look for another? And Jesus, well, let's just read it. Go to Luke chapter 7. And I want you to see verse 20, 21, what Jesus said. Can you turn off the monitors? Just turn the monitors off. That's the problem. There you go. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Luke 7, look at verse 21. Well, go ahead. You want to preach it? Go ahead, preach it. Luke 7, verse 21. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus answered in verse 22, and he said to them, go tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Any other questions? In other words, you want to know if it's really me? Do you want to know if it's really me? All right, let me ask this. Hey, generation of Church on the North Coast attendees here this morning on July 6th, 2008 at 11:15 in the morning. Do you really want to know if it's Jesus or not? Yes or no? Yeah? Okay, here's what he answers. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have their gospel preached to them. Any other questions? We've been worshiping false presentation of who Jesus is. I know you don't like that one. But yes, we have. We have settled for a powerless church service. We have settled for a miracle, signs, and wonderless church time and age. Because we felt like it was normal for nobody to get healed, nobody to get delivered, nobody to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, no emotional stuff, because after all, we're in the postmodern era, and we're now seeking God quietly, and everybody has their own way to God. By the way, let me just tell you this. That big church in Chicago, whatever its name was, what's its name? The big Hybels Church, what was his name? Willow Creek, you know, they came out and repented and said they were wrong. They were wrong for creating a seeker-sensitive Sunday morning service. They said they were wrong. That took a lot for them to come out and say they were wrong. I read it. He actually said he was wrong because he led this church astray in this generation where we have watered the gospel down. If you want to know if Jesus is in your life, if you want to know if Jesus is in your local church, the deaf ought to start hearing. The blind ought to start seeing. The dead ought to be raised. The blind, you know, those that are oppressed ought to be set free. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus said. He said, go tell John I'm the one. I'm in your midst. So I decided, you know, I said, okay, God, if that's what you want, then I'm going to believe you for that. I'm going to believe you for blind eyes to be open, Tana. In Jesus' name, your eye is going to open. I'm going to believe for deaf ears to be open. As a matter of fact, Bill Kiesman, his ears were open the last healing and deliverance service. He gave testimony. His eyes were watering continually for 3 years, and instantaneously they were healed. We've got signs and wonders that are happening in these supernatural Sunday night services. People are being delivered. People are being set free. Babies are being healed, right, Val? All kinds of powerful things are happening. But let me tell you something. If we don't lift up our voice, if we don't go to the house, if we don't go to the presence of God, if we don't press in and say, you know what? I don't care what my neighbors think. I don't care what my children think. I don't care what my family thinks. I don't care what the other people in the church think. I'm going into the office of God. I'm going in the presence of God. And I'm going to believe God for the miracles that He wants to perform on the earth today. This generation is sick and tired of a powerless church. They look at church as the biggest joke in the world. That's why they're not in here. That's why they're not in here this morning. They're not here because when they get here, there's nothing here. You better hear me. They don't want just what you and I have learned to eat off of. They don't want it. And I'll tell you what they do want. They want the power of God. They want the glory of God. They want signs and wonders that will fall. They want a real Jesus that they could sink their teeth into and say, you know what? This God is real. Amen. Didn't mean to do all that this morning, but. First Chronicles 15. You see, this is the case of the church. First Chronicles 15 and verse 1. It was David. David was trying to bring the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. Do you remember that? If you don't remember it, read your Bible out and you just check that out later because I don't have time to read it all. But he was trying to bring back the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant was representative of the presence of God. He was trying to bring it back to Jerusalem, but he was doing it his own way. And when he did it his own way on an ox cart, God said, you know what? I don't like your own way. I want my way done. I want my way, not your way. And God said, no. You know, man said, no, I'm going to do it my way. So God said, okay, fine, don't touch it. And Uriah touched it, and God killed him. And David was like, whoa, man, God, you killed my best friend. All he did was try to keep you from falling off the ox cart. And God said, I don't need your help. I can do this myself. I don't need you to put your hand on me. I need to put my hand on you. And what happened? So David said, forget it. He sent the Ark of the Covenant over to Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And so he's watching, he's observing, he's looking at Obed-Edom. He goes, man, Obed-Edom's getting blessed, man. Look, whoa, God, man, his cattle are increasing, his sheep are increasing. Look at that. He's got more gold rings. Well, my goodness, look at all the people. He's got new children. Oh, my goodness. Wow, Obed-Edom's getting blessed. And he started getting jealous. So he said, you know what? I'm bringing this thing back up to Jerusalem. Now remember, on Mount Gilboa was the tabernacle of Moses. The tabernacle of Moses was existing at this very time. It was on a mount called Gilboa. And Mount Gilboa was a mountain where the tabernacle of Moses was there. It was the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. But remember now, they were offering sacrifices out on the golden altar, but there was no Holy of Holies because the Ark of the Covenant wasn't there. It was over at Obed-Edom's house. All right? So they're going through all the motions, and there's no glory. There's no presence. So David says, I'm bringing the presence of God back. So he brings it back, and in 1 Chronicles 15:1, I think you had the scripture up there, he puts a tent up and puts it in that. I don't think they can read that white on white. We need to have something that's a little more profound so we can read that. David built houses for himself in the city of David. He prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Now, the audacity of David to pitch a tent for the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant belongs in the Holy of Holies. And David said, no, I'm not going back there. And 1 Samuel says the reason why he's not going back there, because he feared the drawn sword of the angel of the Lord. And he said, I'm not going back up there. I lost my best buddy Uriah. You think I'm going back up there? There's no way. It's a type of the law. It's a type of the transition of the church from law to grace. It's a transition. Man, I wish I had another hour. It's a transition. And David, which is the lineage of Christ, David, a type of Christ, sees the transition. And he says, no, thank you. He says, no, we're going to take this into a tent. And there's not going to be an outer court, and there's not going to be an inner court, and there's not going to be a Holy of Holies. There's just going to be a tent with the Ark of the Covenant in it. And then I'm going to appoint worshipers. I'm going to appoint musicians, and I'm going to have them be around this Ark of the Covenant, and they're going to be singing and worshiping 24 hours a day. And I'm going to open the tent curtain, and I'm going to let people come in. Whoever wants to come in, they could come in and start singing and praising God. In other words, I'm going to give direct access to the presence of the living God. Now, here you go, Tabernacle of David with the presence of God, people having direct access. And over here on the other mountain, we have the religious organization under the Mosaic law that are going through all the religious motions, but no glory. No presence. Can you imagine? All they had was ceremony, but without the ark. And when Solomon's temple was built, he had two places to deal with. Solomon's temple's built, and boy, this is a lot of scripture that we need to talk about, but you just follow me along. Solomon's temple's built. He goes, okay, now I need to go to Mount Gilboa and offer sacrifices, because he offered all kinds of sacrifices, remember? And God said, man, you're blessed. I'm going to bless you. What do you want? He said, I want wisdom. Okay, wisdom. But then he had to go to the Mount Zion. That's a good name, isn't it? He went to go Mount Zion to get the Ark of the Covenant. See, you never go to the presence of God without first going to the altar of God. So Solomon first went to the altar, and then he went to the presence. See, here's been our problem in the local church. I'm not saying this. Statisticians say this. We have as many divorces in the church as we do outside the church. We have as many incest problems in the church as we do outside the church. We have as many adulterous things in the church as we do outside the church. We have as many children abuse in the church as we have outside the church. We have as much drug abuse in the church as we have outside the church. So something must be wrong. Something must not be working. So maybe the church isn't working, right? It has to be. I mean, that's the only way explanation you can make. And so my feeling is, when we come into the presence of God, God says, you know what? You can't have my presence. Because unless you went to the altar first, unless you went to the sacrificial place of the cross and died to self, See, you can't come into my presence. And it was the thief that hung on the cross with Jesus. One of them said, Jesus, I don't care what you do. You can do what you want. I'm going to go to hell with all my friends. We're going to have a party all night long. It's fine with me. And the other one said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Do you remember that? He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said this, today you shall be with me in paradise. When did the thief get to Jesus in his paradise? When did that happen? The same day, but when on that day? When he what? When he died. When he died, he went to the paradise of the Lord, right? So when did the thief who said, I want to go into your presence, I want to go into your paradise, when did he go? Everybody say it with me. When he died. Say it again. When he died. See, there's got to be a death to self to get into the presence of the Lord. Oh, gosh. Please, let's start at 9. Please, please, please get up earlier on Sunday morning. Look, really, honestly. Thank you. I can do it. Yes. The whole idea of the presence of God is death. There has to be a death before you get into the presence of God. And Jesus, he was crying out. Tina was sharing with me this week. He says, I thirst. I thirst. He wasn't thirsting for water. He was thirsting for the courts of his Father. He was thirsting for his presence. I thirst. And what did they do? They stuck a sponge in some sour wine. And they stuck it up to his mouth. And he even drank that. And you know what the sour wine represents? Religion. Dead church. New wine comes from Jesus. New wine is the kingdom of God's message. New wine, not sour wine. And Jesus even paid the price for our dead religion and our dead thinking of what Christianity is. He paid the price. He drank it. He consumed it. And so this morning, church, Zion is a place of joy, singing, shouting, and praise. In Acts chapter 15 and 16, they said they're going to restore, out of Amos, they quoted it, we're going to restore the tabernacle of David, which has been torn down, which has been ruined. The tabernacle of David is not the messianic style of worship as much as it is the direct access of the presence of God. Church, I invite you to press in. I invite you to press in. I invite you to reconsider your ways. I invite you to think about what it is that you want on this earth. Let me tell you something. This life is so short. It is so brief. You know that David never lost a battle? Isn't that powerful? Never lost a battle. I mean, he was a guy that was out there fighting all the time. Never lost one battle. You know how many times that David went to the altar of God? He went there 3 times a day. You know how many times David went into the tabernacle of his own tabernacle? He went 7 times a day. 10 times a day went in the presence of the Lord. That's even more than Daniel. 10 times a day went in the presence of the Lord. He never lost a battle. Never lost a battle. Now listen, I'm telling you from my own testimony. I'm able to turn it off and turn it on. I go home, I turn it off. Okay, that's my church time. My church time is up. Now I got to go ahead and clean the yard. I got to do this, whatever. And I just don't think in terms, you know, you just don't think in terms of, well, wait a minute, no, can't shut off the presence of God. So I got to rethink, I got to reprogram my mind to say, no, I need to stay in the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy, there's strength, there's restoration, there's power, there's renewal. So I got to stay in the presence of God. You know, you can't stay angry and be in the presence of God. You'll have to give up your anger. You can't stay bitter. You can't stay in sin. You cannot, amen. Let me just tell you this, you cannot stay in sin and stay and be in the presence of God. You can't do it. You'd be like, okay, this doesn't feel right. Right? This doesn't feel right. Here you are trying to have an affair with somebody and you're singing, Alleluia. Alleluia. Boy, you look good. Alleluia. Won't you come with me? Alleluia.
Can you do that? You can't do that. You can't do that. There ain't a person in here that could do that. Unless you ain't saved. But if you're saved, you can't do that. It'll keep you holy. Hallelujah. Give me a kiss, girl. Hallelujah. It won't work. I've got to get in the car and go east. But I want to share with you, and Troy's going to come and help us. In 2 weeks, I leave for Uganda, going to the northern parts, Arua and Gulu. 40,000 children refugees in that region. Many of them were taught to fight in the Lord's army at 8 years old with machine guns and machetes and murdered and massacred people. And now they've been abandoned, don't have families, don't have parents. In one region, I was told it's 85% Muslim. And we're going to preach in a Christian conference. And I need your help. I need your help to get there. We've got a soaring budget. We've got most of it met. We have already raised about, I think we sent, about 17,000 already. But we're 3,000 short. Just three. That's all we have. Just 3,000. And so I have asked Minister Troy to finish the service with an offering and help us get that today. And I know gas prices are up there and budgets are tight, but if you can give, bless us today and help us to finish this conference. And we love you and we bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next time, Thursday night. Church on the North Coast, love you. All right. Minister Troy, take care of it, will you?
Amen. All right. Come on, give Pastor Casey a hand this morning. So what we'll do then to receive that offering, why don't we just go ahead and get that out of the way. If you could just prepare an offering if you would like to give to that this morning. I know it's from the Lord because I was up all night wrestling with dreams about it. I leave a week from now. I leave on Monday. Not tomorrow, but the following Monday I leave. And I'll go and get there ahead of Pastor. And I was up all night. And in my dreams, I was caught just before flying out. They wouldn't let me fly out, and they kept me from flying out, and all night through my dream I just couldn't get to Uganda, and I just wrestled in my dreams all night, like, come on, I can't get there, you know. And just so you know, it's not like going to Uganda, you know. It's not like I just feel compelled to go. There's a part of me that says I'm cool, I don't want to go. I'm good. I went and got some shots, some vaccinations, and they just, you know, they peppered this arm, then they peppered this arm, and then they looked at me, the woman looked at me and said, so basically, you can go to any place on the face of the planet. I looked back at her and said, great. So basically, I'm going to the most scary, horrible, frightening most place on the face of the earth, right? And she looked back and said, basically, yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. Why would sane people do that? And so, ushers, if you'll come, sane people will do that, because what we're doing is restructuring a war-torn nation, it's called the dark continent. But we're bringing Jesus' light into it, and we're equipping pastors to equip their people, and it'll be a government that is restructured from the inside out, with God on the inside and God on the throne, and it is destined to be a lighthouse for the globe. Amen. I just declare that prophetically this morning, that Africa will be a lighthouse for the globe. So let's pray over our gift this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give into your kingdom. We bless your name with this that we're giving. We pray that many would come to know the name of Christ, and many would be refreshed and restored. And God, that this gift that we sowed this morning would go far, reach many in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. I'm done faking it. Are you there, church? You're done faking it? I've never been one to fake it. I wear it for the outside. You see, for many of us, when we lived without Jesus, we lived on the edge. Some of you in here I knew before we knew Jesus. And we lived hard. We lived hard. What has happened that we have come to Christ and become soft? And when Ashley was singing that song earlier, and she was talking to our Father, and she said, "Do you realize who you're singing to?" Yesterday, my son comes in, and I'm preparing to get something to eat. And Caleb comes in, and he says, "You know, that's right. My food's hot. I just got it." And he says, "Dad, can you start the four-wheeler? I want to go ride." I'm like, "I will later." And he said, "Oh, okay." But I put my food down, and I went and started the four-wheeler from him. See, a child has the ability to change the mind of a father. We are children of the Most High God. Do you realize that? Do you realize that you are a son and a daughter of God? It gets no bigger. There's no higher authority. Angels marvel at it. They look down from heaven and they're just like, "What in the world do you see about these people that draws you to them, God? Why are you so attentive to their cry?" Because they're sons and daughters. Because we're sons and daughters. And when a son or a daughter cries out, when my little girl cries out in the middle of the night, I wake from deep sleep and I run into her room. When your children cry out to you from halfway across the world, mothers and fathers, you will go to them. It doesn't matter, because you're sons and daughters of yours. You'll go to them. Everybody standing. All the sons and daughters standing this morning. And with voices that cry out to a father, to your father. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You are a prince that declares things with your mouth this morning on the earth. You are the hope of glory to the earth. Christ in you. We are the only living created being that has a vertical connection as well as a horizontal connection. I believe that's why the cross was made that way. It points to Jesus and then it points across and says, "Go save them now, go rescue them." With a cry, with all your heart this morning, with all that's in you, could you just say, "I'm tired of faking it. I'm tired of not having the presence and pretending like the presence is there. I'm tired of coming in and then I'm tired of going out. I'm tired of seeing sick people sick. I'm tired of seeing the deaf be deaf. I'm tired of seeing the blind be blind. I'm tired of seeing hospitals overflow with people who are sick. I'm tired of seeing my children wayward from God. I'm fed up. I'm tired of doing. Come on, if that's you, church, just lift your hands to God this morning and just begin to cry out to Him. Say, "God, I'm tired of seeing it this way. I'm not satisfied anymore. God, if you don't show up, God, if it's not real, I don't want to do it." And like Moses this morning, we declare, "If you don't go with us, we're not going. Oh God, give us your glory. Give us your glory. And if you don't go, God, we're not going. If you're not in it, we don't want to be in it, God. We only want to be where you go, God. We only want to go if you go. God, we desire with all of our hearts to see the lame walk and the deaf ears open and the blind eyes open. Tana Blue, you shall see in Jesus' name." Because the Bible declares that these signs shall follow those. Cry out to you, God. We cry out to you, God. We give you worship this morning from our hearts. We lift up our worship this morning and we return. We return. Come on, return to Him, church.
Lord, I need more of you.
Altars are open if you want to come and come to the altar this morning and seal this thing with Jesus. The altars are open. There's healing up here. There's a pulse of Bethesda right here this morning. Come, come to the altars and be made whole this morning. He took me with Moses up to the top of the mountain in that scripture where he took Moses up to the top of the mountain and he said, Moses, I want you to look out. I want you to look out and I want you to see the promised land because you're never going to walk in it. And he took me up there with him and I kind of looked and I said, God, why? Why, God? Why didn't Moses ask you to walk in it? Because I know that in times past, Moses would have argued with you. It's almost as if Moses, at times when he wanted to, he cried out to you and said, God, why not? God, why would you kill these people? They're your children. Why would you do that, God? And I began to ask the Lord, why? Why, God? Why can't he walk in it? Why wouldn't you let him walk in it? God said back to me. He said, Troy, go tell him not to be content with just looking at it. Oh, if you're sitting there today and you're just content to look at it, God's crying out to you and said, don't just be content to look at it. Because he's looking for a generation that'll just say, you know what, I'm done with that. I've looked at it enough. I want to walk in it. And like Simeon, I want to behold the glory of God, and I will not rest. Or if that's you today, church, why don't you come up to the altar and just grab a hold of the living God and just begin to cry out to him and say, God, I'm not satisfied looking at it. I don't want to just look at it, God. I want to walk in the promised land. I want to behold the promised land. I want to see them. I want to see them. I want to lay hands on the sick. I want to lay hands on the sick. And I want to see them recover right there. Come on, if that's you, come on, press in, church. Don't be satisfied. If you need to go, go. But if for those of you who want it, for those of you who want it, come and get it this morning. Don't leave here the same.